Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Jenny Hubby.
Hi there.
How is it going?
Going great. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. You're coming in loud and clear. So
good.
I know this week coming in here for you're going to be the co-host of the show, and I just wanted to welcome you to the show. You've been on here before, and I am just so excited to have you with me, bring some sanity and normalcy to this program. So,
well, I didn't know that was the requirement, but we'll try. I'm very excited.
Right, that's right. And so, yeah, I'm equally as excited, and I know that our listeners are going to be excited as well. Folks, we just got we have a lot of guests coming up here in recent weeks, and just a whole lot of things to talk about coaching and coaching techniques and where we are with the field of life coaching and executive coaching and coaching youth. So those are all my favorite topics. And Jenny, you just have a hand in all or many of those. So so what's been going on with you this week, and what's going on, kind of tell us about yourself at large that you didn't get to say before, and kind of introduce yourself to our listener.
Sure, I'd love to. Well, first of all, Bruce, thank you for the invitation. I'm excited about this show, and I'm excited about working with you and bantering and helping people understand what opportunities are available in coaching, not just those that want to look into coaching as a profession, but also those that may wonder if coaching works for them. So really excited to do that. And so for me, my career background is mostly outside sales, account executive, business to business sales. And then about 9 years ago, I got into the mental health field and outreach and admissions, and love that. I was able to start to use that sales background to do something to help people get the treatment that they need in with mental health issues and also with addiction issues, because that was my personal story. So I was able to combine my professional background and my personal experience, and it's been so rewarding for me to do that. So I basically would go out in the field and talk to psychologists and therapists and psychiatrists and family doctors and help them understand that there's mental health treatment available for just about everyone, and also treatment available for addiction. And eventually that career led me into wanting to be a coach, because I could see how many people came out of treatment and how many families had a loved one go in for treatment for addiction or mental health issues and didn't know what to do next when they came out. And coaching is a wonderful way for them to go, because their coaching allows them to look at a vision for their future and then plan accordingly. And so it's really refocusing on a vision for their new life ahead. And that can be for the person coming out of treatment, but also for the family. What does the family look like? And so I love doing that. That's something that I love to do as a coach, is help people envision what they really have always wanted their life to be, and then helping them get there.
Right. And, you have been doing that and continue to do that in your practice. And I like the fact that, you just have that vision and that scope. And also here recently, we've been talking, or you've been talking about some things moving forward, you know, helping coaches, what, build their practice and those things, or have you been mm-hmm. thinking about that mm-hmm. aspect as well, right?
Yes, there are three main aspects for my coaching. And, you know, one of the things that we were taught in coach training was to establish your niche. And I really struggled with that because I have so much experience because I'm not super young. So I have a lot of experience. And so how do I boil that down into one niche? And I really couldn't boil it down to one population of people. So what I was able to do is boil it down into three main groups of people that I love to work with because of my personal and professional experience. And one is emerging adults, and you and I have talked about that before on this show, helping them understand, or not understand, but really connect with their life purpose mm-hmm. and make decisions for college or career based on their purpose, based on a personal purpose. And then the other is people in recovery, like I mentioned before. And the third niche, or the third population really, is entrepreneurs, and especially coaches and therapists that are starting a practice or business and helping them launch that business. I love that, just love it, because it's daunting for a lot of people that have professional and clinical expertise to launch a business. It's not right. easy, as you know. And
as
so
I
love to encourage them and inspire them that it can be done. And you've done an excellent job at that with your clinical practice and also your coaching.
Right. I get the big fat, people will say, well, how did you know, how did you know how to do some of this stuff? I'm like, oh, well, I was an account executive for my dad's advertising agency. And they'd be like, oh,
there
well,
you go.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Can't
right.
the country
That's
out of the boy
training.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
that was 1,000 years ago, and we didn't quite have the thing. It's a little bit
the
more
technology.
Old school, whatever. But I think it right. was, yeah, the technology is there. But I also think that there's a mindset that one has to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or be able to go into this kind of zen-like marketing state from
right.
time to time, and so
right.
and you know what? And I know I'll be making an appearance, I think, at one of the coaching schools last day here pretty soon, and kind of talking about marketing the coaching practice, but only for like 15, 20 minutes. So yeah, that is something that I think is an underserved element in our population of
mm-hmm.
coaches, is that there's probably so many people out there with coaching credentials, and then yet because the clients didn't come for whatever reason, or not fast enough, or other things of their life kind of got in the way, and then that just took mm-hmm. precedence. And so I really hate to see people enter the coaching field and prematurely leave the coaching field because mm-hmm. the business mm-hmm. aspect didn't go the way they wanted to. So it's going to be a good offering for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Definitely. I feel the same way. I hate to see good coaches get discouraged and feel like they have to go back to work when that's not what they
right.
want to do. I mean, if that's what
right.
they want to do, that's great.
Right.
And so I do provide the marketing training for a coaching institute, and something that I say to the coaches, the coaching students, when I'm doing the marketing training is, don't try to do this alone. Don't go out there and try to build your coaching business all by yourself and just be in your head all the time, because
right.
you'll psych yourself out. You want a partner. You want strategic alliances with professionals like you and I've had for years.
Right.
And that really helps you. You feed off of each other. Your energy,
right.
you share energy, and it really helps you build your business.
Absolutely, and helps you be accountable, and helps you
mm-hmm.
maybe kind of see things that you wouldn't have ordinarily, saw on yourself. We can only do so much by ourselves. If Mm-hmm. Practice what we preach. Otherwise, we wouldn't be coaches if we didn't understand that. You know, we wouldn't be coaches in the first
True.
Place to help others. Right?
Right.
So in
right.
some sense, you gotta practice what you preach.
if we hadn't gotten the help ourselves, we wouldn't know how to help people.
Exactly.
So, I totally
so,
agree with that.
What I was going to ask you this fun little definition. You talked about emerging adults and kind of compare and contrast that term with the failure to launch person who themselves, at least by age, is an emerging adult. So is an emerging adult anybody who's just kind of quote coming up, or is it also these FTL, failure to launch youth?
Good question.
I know, right?
Yeah, good question.
I didn't ask you that about a year ago on the show. I'm gonna ask you today.
I know. Well, actually, I looked that term up when I first heard the term. I was like, what does that mean? I think I've been an emerging adult my whole life.
Nice.
So I still feel like I'm an emerging adult. So the definition is really, I believe, and I could be off by a year or two, about 18 years to 28 years. Old,
okay.
A person is considered an emerging adult. So if they're in process of becoming independent or learning how to do that, hopefully. And then there's the failure to launch term that we've heard so much. And, you and I talked about this about a year ago, that I don't like that term. I understand that most people know what it means, and so we refer to it. I really like to share with parents and emerging adults that they're really in a pre-launch mode. They just haven't launched yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of them are going to launch, and so they haven't really failed in launching. They just haven't launched yet, unless, you could, I guess we could tear apart the term fail, because, we've all failed in things in order to get to success. And so I just don't want parents or emerging adults to look at them as failure, but they just haven't gotten where they want to go yet. And
I could argue the point. Well, of course I've launched. I've launched into my Xbox, smoking weed and living in my parents' garage or, upstairs apartment. I mean, of course I've launched.
Right.
I mean, what are you talking about?
I launched myself right up there in my bedroom, on my couch. right. So, we have three kids that we've launched, and it wasn't easy to launch them. Some wanted to launch and some didn't. So I get it.
Right, because you kind of come up with this, well, launch in what way, and what does that mean, and do we have some sort of a preconceived notion of what launching means? Well, launching means you're adulting in an appropriate direction that resembles, right, this kind of middle class contingency lifestyle. Like, so that's the goal then, versus perhaps something else or something more intrinsically, you becoming who you want to be type of thing. So I've always struggled with that, with those cases, because it's like, hey, get a damn job, man. Get off your ass. You know what I mean? You feel better about yourself. Just flip a burger. I don't care. Just get started, and enter the world of work and go someplace with a uniform and don't steal from them and smile at the customer and be of service to somebody else, even if it's with a Subway sandwich or something, like wheat or flat, or you want this toasted. And those are big ass words. I mean, those are very helpful. So, you know what I mean? Like, God, man, thank you for your service. I mean,
just do something.
Yeah, God Almighty. Do something. And it's hard for, knowing what we know about depression and stuff like that, and people who just kind of live a closed life, and they get those, working a job gives you these inputs, these other human inputs where you're getting reflection from others. So, folks, I'm not just being a hard ass. There is some intrinsic psychotherapeutic value from being in front of other people, even in a workplace. At a Subway sandwich place, you'd be in front of hundreds of people a shift. I mean, that's some mental health right there,
Because we're made for connection.
Yeah.
And if we sit in our room and do video games, we're really not connecting.
Right. We're not. And intrinsically, we we pay a price for that, and these people will shut down and or then adopt a lifestyle that is a shutdown-esque lifestyle that consists of sleeping late, gaming.
Well, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, Jenny, it's easy for you to go out and do social things and networking things because you're outgoing, and it's not easy for me. I wish it were easy. And I tell them, it's not easy for me either. There are a lot of times I would rather just drive right past that networking event at night and go home and put my PJs on. But I don't. I stop in there. You know, and I do the thing. And so when people find out it's not always easy for me, it's a discipline, I think they feel better. And back to your point of the emerging adults, it's very easy to get out of a habit of the social disciplines of life in general if we're not doing it. And I could understand if a young person is spending a lot of time in their room, that they're going to lose those skills that we are so important for success in life, those people skills and those social skills. And so I'm very passionate about helping parents to see what power they have to help their kids, and then helping the kids see what power they have to help themselves. You still there, Bruce?
I am. I was gone, and I'm back. So what a country.
Wow, where'd you go?
I went into cyberland, and then I'm back. But exactly, you know, helping them find, and that's where we go back to the coaching, helping them find that within themselves. But, you know, like you said, it's like going to the gym of life. If we don't go to the gym, then we get out of shape, we get out of whack. And you know what? Some of that stuff is just non-negotiable. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good for me to brush my teeth. I'm going to tell you, I really don't get much intrinsic or extrinsic pleasure from brushing my teeth. But what I do get out of brushing my teeth is I'm avoiding a whole hell of a lot of pain and anguish and money. Right?
Yeah.
Because when teeth rot out, it hurts like hell. They get extracted. You got to get a bridge. You got to get partials. You got to get false teeth or choppers. And man, now, right, you're on this downward thing to, if I just took care of my teeth in the first place, I wouldn't have to be going through all this anguish now. And so some of that, right, is kind of bringing, I kind of bring that bottom, if you will, up to the client. Say, man, look, this is where you're headed, and this is not a good place. This is a place that's going to have some pain and anguish and whatever. For instance, and we see that in these kids' social media. Like, man, I notice on Facebook and Insta, all my friends are older now. They have real jobs, and they're adulting now. Some of them even got married, and I feel like I got left behind. Well, you did. You know what I mean? And so, wow, you know, what can we do now to kind of close that gap? And what I've done is do some things with these kids to close that gap quickly, you know, with a good job and some other stuff. And some optics on their LinkedIn and whatever, you know, to kind of position them in a way where they're kind of still viable and still relevant. So yeah, it is an interesting area with the emerging adults, you know.
So what would you say would be a few of the, you know, maybe the top pieces of advice you would give to parents that have emerging adults or teenagers that are soon to become emerging adults?
Sure. Yeah, really, really put them in positions now that they have to be independent. To me, that is a huge force play. And it's natural, and it's productive, and it's reasonable, and it's not being tough love. It's like, hey, you know what? You're now 20X years old. You really need to be out there managing your own affairs. Hey, even if we give you a little bit of a stipend, you're going to get this job, you're going to get this apartment, you're going to pay these bills, you're going to ration your gas, you're going to pay your insurance, you're going to pay this much toward a car, and here we go. We're going to start this adulting process now, because if we, the longer you wait, the harder it is to to make that adjustment. Yeah. You know, it just is. And so
it is.
That's the first piece of advice, is in a loving way and a caring way as possible. Emancipate is what I like to use. Emancipate that non-minor.
Yeah.
To a point of independence, even if you're using some training wheels. Now, look, see, folks, see, I'm not a hard ass. I'm all about the $500 whatever a month stipend as training wheels until they can ride the bicycle of life on their own and be self-sufficient. So that's the first thing. And then, as their coach, I kind of measure out that experience. Well, how was that for you? How was that to, you had to wake up and go to work. How was that? Like, you had to wear the same clothes. How was that? Oh my God, you had to have your uniform washed. Did you go to the washateria, or are you going to get like an up, down, top, bottom thing for your little apartment? Or how are you going to get the clothes washed? So you get, because one thing leads to the other. And okay, did you save money? Were you able to delay gratification and not buy Four Locos or whatever, and, you know, and save that for gas? And so, and then kind of go through this experience with your client and hear their perception of this. And I had a young man on the show either a week before or a week after you last time, Jenny, and this guy got a sales job for like one of the energy, quote, you know, power companies down here. That's not TXU. Mm-hmm. So he'd walk into a store. Hey, can I help you with your energy bill? And like, F you, get out of my store. I'm going to call the cop. So he had one of those direct sales jobs, you know, and it's really
been there.
And so his motto was, he came on the show again. He said, yeah, Bruce, I was scared straight back into college. Hilarious, you know? And
oh, my goodness.
Because
he
kind of figured out, wow, you know what? This kind of direct sales thing is kind of a effortful deal. And wait a minute, you know? And this kid, you know, probably happens to have an IQ of about 130. So it's a better play for this kid probably to go to college, you know?
I'm
just sad, you know, if you could chew gum and do nothing and get a 2.6 and above, you probably, college is the place for you for, you know, park that there for about 3 or 4 years and get a degree and then figure out some other thing. But it's kind of fun how that worked out.
Yeah. Those kinds of things that you've never done before are scary. They still are for me. And I just have to remind myself, and we call it in coaching, we call it a positive anchor. I find a positive anchor of something I've done in the past that was tough, and I made it through and I succeeded, and that's my positive anchor. Okay, Jenny, you've done this 50 times. You can do it again. And that's how I get through those things.
That's a great imagery thing there. Positive anchor.
And positive anchor. And so, you know, I love what you're saying, though, about helping kids, helping emerging adults become independent and encouraging that independence. And not, you know, we didn't throw any of our kids out on the street. We booted them a little bit. But we always said, we will help you help yourself. Okay? Right. We're not going to help you be helpless. Because nobody gets to live in our house for free, not even us. And so we'll help you help yourself. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even us. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's just, I just see it. It's just so hard for us as parents to let go, and we don't want them to get hurt, but it's their journey. And sometimes they have to get hurt in order to learn and to grow. Right. I know I did. So,
It's just, man, so hard to make that transition from a helicopter parent to one that emancipates the kid. You know what I mean? Because they're used to being, the helicopter is so used to being engaged in every level and doing this and doing that. And then all of a sudden, the helicopter mom or dad's like, oh, well, you know, you better go to college and be on your own. Like, oh, I don't even know how to do a load of laundry right now. I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I can't even make toast.
Right.
So now these kids get sent off and they don't know any life skills to even manage a college dorm life. I mean, I shit you not. Like, this is truth. And I'm not lying right now.
I know it is.
I'm serious. Yeah. Like, these kids, like, were up there, like, texting their friends, what do I do? Man, maybe I do a YouTube video on how to make ramen noodles. Like, man, really? Like, you had to go that far with it. So, that anyway. So, well, I'm excited, you know, to really revisit, we'll bat around some youthful emerging adult guests and topics on the show and really kind of go at it. So yes, for those of you listening, are that anchor technique. So yeah, Jenny, you got to throw in a technique every show. Now that's part of the contract. Well, just kidding.
Well, you throw well in a positive anchor. I just can't tell you how many times a client has, you know, presented a challenge and they're like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't know if I can do it. And they know they can. I mean, we know we can do it. Sure. We're just scared. And right. So I'll ask, well, tell me about a time that you had a big challenge and you weren't sure you could do it. And what happened? Tell me what happened. Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that time that, I had a situation with my teenage son and I didn't know how we were going to get through it. And I just had to calm myself down, walk away from it, figured out an answer, came back and we solved the problem, you know, and then they realized, oh, I've done that before.
Right.
So I had a client a couple weeks ago. She's a therapist and, you know, a lot of therapists will hire coaches
to
help them with their business, right? And with their goals. And so she was telling me about several goals that she had, and she was kind of beating herself up, like, oh, I've had these goals. I'm never going to, you know, I haven't done anything about it. I know what to do. I just haven't. And, you know, normally it's easy to go, well, why haven't you? And instead I said, well, tell me about a time, you know, and I asked her the question to find a positive anchor. And I said, and it was about a big loss in her life, a huge loss in her life and how she handled it. And I asked her, well, how did you get through that? And she said, I reached out for help. And I said, oh, ooh, really?
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, isn't, you know, what's similar to this situation with me sitting here? She goes, and just seeing her face light up, she goes, oh, yeah, I reached out to you. And there you go. You're on the right road. You're already on the road to reaching these goals that you have. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. Yeah, that is, that is very cool. So, my executives sometimes have similar epiphanies, you know. that stuff's not done and stuff ain't working for whatever reason. And I just kind of go back and dig deep and, you know, refresh their perspective on some stuff. So.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what coaches are. That's a big part of our role as coaches is to champion our clients, to help them, to help illuminate what is great and fantastic about them so that they see that they can do what's in front of them. And I love doing that. Don't you love that when you see the light come on? Yeah,
absolutely. I was gonna say, I had a lady client this morning, executive, and got placed into a new role, and really did some of the similar things. You know, well, I didn't get this role, but you did get this other role, which is a very good role. Well, yes, and so she was really coming across with the glasses half empty.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 5 week old promotion, and she's already kind of. I don't want to say Debbie Downering, but well, it could have been this, but it's not, and this and that. And I just know people are walking around saying X, Y, and Z. So it's like, wow, this is our first time together, but I'm really going to have to do some perspective, you know, work with her about where she is. I mean, and we know these, you know, how sad is that when, You make a very good accomplishment and it's still not good enough. And now you're internalizing some sort of punitive super ego parent. I know this isn't a therapy show, folks. I know. I know. Help the words. It's just you know, I just had to say it. But anyway,
so you couldn't help it. Well, and that was a question I was going to ask you, and you just answered it before I asked, which you must be telepathic or whatever that is. But anyway, the question I was going to ask was, is it any different, the level of success that someone has? Because you're dealing with high achievers, highly successful people, and maybe a rhetorical question, are their challenges much different than others?
Well, you know, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say not really, because it's all to scale, right? So let's say if I'm working with a Hollywood executive or a Hollywood personality, right? And they've achieved this big, big old fat daddy deal that's way beyond what you and I is sitting in our coffee shop down the street can even think of, right? Anyway, so, you know, they've done this, and we'd be like, man, I'm just happy to get half of this. And yet, you know, in your world, you're a piece of crap or whatever. I mean, you know what I mean? You're saying all this bad stuff.
Right.
And so it's like, damn. And so it is up to skill. So I think at the end of the day, I think that the struggle is real. No, but the struggle
is real.
I know, it's so stupid. But anyway, but yet it's their struggle. And that's where me as a coach, I have to kind of take a step back and go, okay, you know, this is their struggle. This is their outlook. What can we do next? Or how can they look at this now in another way? Or what can I invite them to do? Can I invite you to do that? I always invite my clients to look at things in another way.
I love that.
They say,
that's
fuck
great.
You. Then, you know, I'm like, okay, sorry. But
right.
On the front end, I
they can always decline.
Yeah, they can always decline respectfully. Or I usually get, I've had a few of those rough customers. But it is a similar struggle, and it is the same struggle, because, and I wouldn't have thought that, you know, but now that I've worked from sports athletes to movie stars to C-suite executives to, you know, middle class, you know, hardworking folks, you know what I mean? Live and die by the sword, you know, and saving their money. So, and working with a whole, and then of course, had worked with federal inmates for a quarter of a century before all that. So, working with that span of humanity, man, it's, I think it is every person's struggle. And our job is to kind of jump in there as their coach and help turn them out of that negativity, whether real or imagined, and move forward with some forward movement and better living. So.
Well, she's fortunate to have you, because I do remember in my coach training, our coach instructor telling us that it is so natural for us to critique ourselves that we really have to train ourselves to look at our strengths and what's positive about us. And that's what you're doing with her.
And it was kind of interesting because I really, you know, that first session, you know, because I'm a man and she's a woman and stuff like that. And I kind of always sell myself short, like, well, you know, would this be better if she's working with a female? Because then there's be maybe necessarily, you know, I mean, I'm never going to say, girl, I know what you're going through, because wait a minute, I'm not a lady. You know what I mean? So I can't go there. But you know what? The thing that saves me in this particular venue, folks, not just at large, but at this particular venue with one of my more frequent sources of clients, is that I know that industry. You know what I mean? I know her industry.
Right.
I know her nomenclature. I know about the dynamics of the industry, even at 5, 10, 15, 20,000 feet above the ground, to say, hey, I know you feel this way, but check this out. Hey, let me tell you about another person I worked with in a similar situation. So I'm doing this kind of Ericksonian meta communication, you know, like, hey, it's kind of not parables, but kind of metaphor stories, which are full on truth. So, hey, I did this and this happened, and this happened with this person several years ago, and this happened. And what do you think about that? Really? Like, yeah, things are more fluid than you think, and they're not as crystalline and stone-like. Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't even know that. So, yeah, on and on it goes mm-hmm. You know what, and that's life in general. It's not just her industry sector. I mean, things are more fluid, you know? We don't live inside of a rock. Yeah, I mean,
no.
Things happen for us, man, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and the metaphors are powerful.
Yeah,
when you use the metaphors with her, it forces her to be creative and visualize.
Yeah.
That's so powerful. That's really cool.
It can be. Yeah. It can be. It's just it just kind of takes, what do you mean? It takes me out of the equation and puts her into the story. You know what I'm saying? It's not,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's not,
yeah.
and that's something as coaches we have to avoid. I say this every show. It's like, man, it's not about us. It's not about what we know.
Right.
We are there. We're facilitators. We're growth facilitators. Mm-hmm. We're awareness facilitators. We're positive change mm-hmm. agent facilitators, you know.
Right.
But man, we're just a facilitator.
That's right. That's what was stressed to me as well, is we're almost invisible in many ways.
Yes.
And we're facilitating our client getting where they want to go and what they want.
Absolutely. And by doing that, well, hold on. Yeah. But also by using coaching methodology. Mm-hmm. And again, I told you at our production meeting, I'm, you know, going to, you know, being tough on crime 2018, and I want coaching methodology. I want to talk about coaching methodology, you know, more so, you know what I mean, than what I have. And I am absolutely guilty of not doing that. So I did a little bit with the metaphor thing, and you did that with the anchor thing, which is good. But yeah, I definitely want to share some of those coaching methodologies. And also I want to plant a seed, Jenny's, because I am fascinated. The training you went through, and the school, if you will, if I could be so bold to call it that you went through, the training you went through, I'm really anxious for you to share some of those moments with our listeners. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the training you went through and the program you went through is very much different. Let's say the program I went through. Love the program I went through. Oh my gosh, can't say more positive things about it. And but I am gonna invite you to share some of those things about the training you went to and how that you know plays into who you are today and some of the things you had to do in your training, some of the exercises and assignments and presentations possibly and things you had to do as part of your training to you know, that really prepared you most for a coach.
Well, thank you.
And another thing is, we're just gonna have this conversation, a prospective coach who's gonna go through some training, I'm gonna hook up with you. She wanted to talk to another female who had opened her own coaching business and wanted to kind of do the, what were some of the stumbling blocks? What are some of the, you know, things that you went through opening your coaching business? So she wants to do that before she starts her class, which will be in December. So be on the lookout for that. And I'm talking out loud to our listeners because there may be somebody listening to the show who says, you know what, I have the same thing. And I'm going to say, call Jenny Hubby. That's what I'm going to say, call Jenny right now. And she's going to give her number at the end of the show and or her website. And you can get a hold of Jenny and or myself, you know, that's the other thing that the way you've gone about your training, opening your business, your experience, the transition out of business into your coaching, and we said I want you to share that because you held a position right for an organization and you're very good at that, and then dude, when I found out you left, you know what I mean?
You were stalking me. No, I'm kidding.
I wasn't trying to. Yeah. No, somebody, you know, one of the, neighborly suspects, you know, us having the usual coffee, like, you know what I'm talking about, like, oh, right. Yeah, did you hear about Jenny? I'm like, no, what happened? Like you had died or something. She's no longer at XYZ. She's not. What is she doing? And, well, she's actually going to go out on her own and do a coaching consulting thing. I laughed my ass off. I mean, as if you were stepping onto a Titanic, you know, like, she's going to do her own thing.
Oh, can you believe that?
Oh,
I know.
I was smiling
crazy.
Ear to ear.
Crazy.
I swear, I about threw up my coffee went through my nose in a good way, laughing. Just like, oh wow,
that's
okay, wow.
Funny. The timing.
What
timing
a risk
was,
that is.
I know, it's so risky. Well, I did. I loved my work, and yeah. I had a great gig, but it was time. I knew it was time, and it's something I've planned for years, but. Thought it was probably three more years out, but it was hard to let go of something that I love, that I was good at, that was meaningful for other people.
I want to say this about you, and this, you know, that you made a name for yourself in the community. Okay, now, folks, Bruce Cameron has a juju. You had a federal name or what? I didn't have any kind of name per se in the community. I just kind of came out swinging with the website, and this is what
Bruce,
I do.
You have a name in the community.
Well, I do.
You really do.
Well, okay, but still, not it's not the same. I mean, you really had a real good name in the community. As a very positive, energetic person who is a helper and a helper to youth. And their families in an extreme way, and this is the takeaway, I think, for our coach listeners, who, you know, as you're building your coaching practice, there's a young woman here, or woman executive here in DFW, who's doing this, and she's getting involved with the youth, and she's absolutely doing it right, you know, and her coaching practice is going to boom. Soon to follow. So, you know, having that presence in the community, being a member of the community, being a helping, positive person in the community, and having that archetype as part of your brand first, and then it's so much easier to plug in as a coach. You know what I mean? Because you're a positive person. Yeah, it's so much easier. And you're doing so much front end of your own marketing. It's insane. That's my opinion. And so, I love that about you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, those are facts. Those aren't feelings. Those are facts. As you were there. You're in the community. You had a brand of sorts, if you will, in the community. And then once you had left the community, you know, I think there was kind of a little of a. You didn't leave. You kind of shifted over to another sector. You didn't leave. Excuse me.
Right.
But some people are like, oh, you know, I didn't have to grieve any loss because I kind of figured out me and you'd be crossing paths.
I know.
Obviously,
it's great timing
coach,
for you.
Yeah, coach to coach. Yeah. So to me, that was kind of funny to hear that. I mean, of course, everything happens for a reason. So, folks, yeah, that's the other takeaway beside anchoring and metaphor. Is be a very as much meaningful part of your community as possible, and do it for the right reasons too. Don't like, yeah, I'm going to go this thing so I can get clients per se. I mean, really, kind of do it to dig in of be of help, be of service,
definitely.
And man, not to sound like Joel Osteen, but the work more than likely will follow. sorry, but
right.
If you do these things. So, but anyway,
I know.
So yeah,
and you know, not to sound like I don't know Pollyanna or whatever, but I really do believe that if we connect with our purpose, then and we're clear on our life purpose, like the legacy we want to leave, then we'll do those things in the community that are meaningful to us, and they're real, and they're sincere, and they're genuine. And that is the best marketing a person can do, is really live out their purpose.
Right.
And they'll attract the people that they're equipped to help. So
nice.
That would be what I would say about that.
So, yeah, water seeks its own level. I say that a lot. Water seeks its own level. And that is that is an operational definition just like that. So With that said, folks, we're going to ring the bell and wind this episode down of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Wonderful visit and many co-hosting sessions to come with Jenny Hubby this afternoon. And we're just going to have a good time and rock and roll with the show like we do and always will do. So Jenny, if you don't mind, give us your contact information on how folks can get a hold of you with your social media and other things.
Yes, definitely. I'm happy to help. Probably the best way to reach me is my mobile, either by text or calling. And that number is 469-348-4517.
Excellent.
And then, my website is jhubconsulting.com because I do coaching and consulting. It's always best, though, to text me or call me.
Sounds good. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And folks, feel free to stop by our Facebook page at Concierge Coaches Show. I'm on Twitter at Cameron Coaches. And so we're just out there at LinkedIn, Cameron LPC. So folks, come back next week and listen to us not only on the LA Talk Radio Archive site, but also we're on iTunes. Feel free to catch up on all the past episodes and recent episodes on our iTunes as well. So we'd love to hear from folks, and feel free to contact either of us at any time about your coaching questions, concerns, or ideas. Love to facilitate the business and the practice of coaching nationwide and worldwide. So we'll see y'all here next week on LA Talk Radio. Take care and have a great week, everybody. Thanks, Jenny.
Bye, everyone. Thanks, Bruce.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron, only on LA Talk Radio.